This is the Cafe Racer Podcast, episode 30 for January 1st, 2013. Happy New Year. I'm your host, Crash. Hey everybody, once again, this show is sponsored by the Cafe Racer TV show. We'll be doing that for another few episodes. And go on over to Dime City Cycles and check out, and that's where you can get all their swag. They've got t-shirts and all kinds of cool stuff. And they've got season 3 out on DVD now. It came out just before Christmas. So go on over there and check it out. You can also look forward to the new season starting in April, just like season 3 did this past April. And I'll probably do the same thing where I go to a weekly show while their show is airing as well, because I'll be getting ready for a big trip again in July. Let's see. Some other quick things to talk about Cafe Racer TV. They're going to have Travis Pastrana on there, Roland Sands, the Bostroms, as usual. The rock band Chevelle is going to be on there. And if you guys are Battlestar Galactica fans, the new series, or the newer series anyway, there was a bike that was built for Katie Sackhoff, so that's kind of cool. You can get a little Starbuck action in your Cafe Racer TV. Real quick, we're going to knock out some news, and then I've got a nice interview with a guy who's building a bike from the ground up. So let's get right into it. First off, California is going to be starting to release some retro-styled plates. If you've seen some old-school bikes that have they still have a retro plate, or maybe your granddad's garage or something that have the black background with the yellow background with the black letters, or the blue background with the yellow letters. They're going to be releasing plates like that. They're going to be $50, and the state needs 7,500 orders by January 1st of 2015 to cover the cost of starting up the program. I'm not entirely sure the way it's not fully explained over at Motorcyclist Online, the Motorcyclist Magazine website. It's not fully explained whether you're going to get your plate right away or if you're going to have to wait until January 2015, but they're starting today. You can go ahead and it says advance orders, so I'm guessing that you're not going to actually get your plate until January 2015 if they don't have their, or, you know, after that, if they get their orders. So if they don't get their orders, you won't be able to get your plate. But they look really cool. It almost makes me want to go to California and register my bike there just to get a plate like this, because, you know, if you're rolling around on either a retro, an actual vintage bike, which, I would definitely like to be doing, but I don't have the room in my garage right now. Or like me, rolling around on a bike that looks retro, then, you know, it'd be cool to get that old school license plate as well. Anyway, check it out if you're a California resident. Hopefully the DMV lines don't take you too long while you're there. Up next in the news is there's an article on Motorcyclist Online again that asks the question, is mandatory ABS coming to the United States? And they pose the question because European Parliament has approved a proposal to mandate anti-lock brakes on all motorcycles with engines larger than 125 cc's beginning in 2016. And the reason that that matters to us is, well, some of the motorcycle manufacturers aren't going to want to put the money into having two different models of the same motorcycle. I mean, yeah, a lot of the manufacturers do European spec models and US spec models, so there's a good chance they're not all going to make it over here, but that also has the possibility. There's a couple of the regulatory boards. Well, not regular, like the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. You see them on like Dateline and stuff doing those car crash tests and stuff like that. They've been lobbying for federal regulated ABS on all new motorcycles, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration hasn't come out in favor one way or the other yet. But the European Parliament's move might be enough to kind of give the Highway Traffic Safety Administration a little bit of pause and make them look at it a little closer. So maybe we'll be having mandatory ABS. Who knows? Personally, I don't have a problem with it. I like ABS. It's definitely got a place on the street, that's for sure. And I would love it if my bike had ABS. That'd be perfectly fine with me. The last quick thing in the news, over at Cycle World, I noticed that the Bike Exif, they're a motorcycle pictures and stuff blog. If you guys haven't checked them out, Google Bike Exif, E-X-I-F. They've got a 2013 calendar, and it's a bunch of pictures of awesome-looking custom bikes, and they're extremely good pictures of extremely beautiful bikes. You know, the photography is done very, very well, and the bikes look really good. I mean, they're beautiful custom bikes. A lot of them are older retro bikes. You know, just definite kind of bike porn to have on your wall. I ordered myself one to put in my garage, I think is where I'm going to put it. Or I might put it up here next to my my recording stuff. But I also ordered another one, and that's what I want to talk about right now. I ordered another calendar, so that I have two, and I will be giving one of those away. And I haven't figured out exactly how the contest sort of thing is going to work, but I just want to put it out now that I will, I'm going to order one, or I did order one, and I'm going to give it away, and I'll ship internationally, it doesn't matter. So just be on the lookout. Next episode, I'll probably put out something more about that. I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want to tie it in. So keep a lookout. Going to be giving away a 2013 Bike Exif calendar. All right, that pretty much does it on news. There wasn't a whole lot. It's been the holidays, so what do you expect? And I want to put a plug in real quick. I just started listening to the Cleveland Moto podcast. If you guys follow me, if you're following the show, you know, if you like it on Facebook and you get the updates and all that sort of stuff, you'll see that I was looking at this show's information on iTunes the other day, and it said others listen to, you know, and the top three were Wheel Nerds, The Pace, and Cleveland Moto podcast. And I listened to Wheel Nerds and The Pace, and I enjoy both of those shows. And I was like, oh, what's this Cleveland Moto podcast? So I looked it up, started listening to it. It's a great show. It, like the Wheel Nerds, is not necessarily safe for kids. So, you know, they drop some F-bombs here and there. But if you're okay with that, then, you know, by all means, go take a listen. Like I said, it's a great show. They talk about vintage motorcycle stuff, and they're also scooter guys. So there's some scooter chat in there as well. I'm finally making good on that promise to give you guys a sound clip of my motorcycle. So the motorcycle sound clip that I'm going to play before I do this interview is going to be my motorcycle, and I hope you guys like it. I'll go ahead and do the sign-off stuff right now. If you're looking to send me a sound clip or got any feedback, if you guys have a topic you want me to talk about, or if you know of somebody you want me to try to interview or anything like that, you can email me at caferacerpodcast@gmail.com. Throw a comment up on the blog over at caferacerpodcast.com. You could go to Twitter and tweet at CafeRacerX. That's me. You could also go to Facebook, facebook.com/CafeRacerPodcast. All those places you can reach me. Please do so. You know, I don't have a problem with trying to generate content, but at the same time, you know, if there's something you guys want to hear about or something, you know, that you think I'd like to know about, then by all means, please let me know. If you have any comments, concerns, if you think I'm screwing something up, or if I say something totally stupid, then please tell me. I want to know. I want to make the show better. So that's all that housekeeping stuff out of the way. I talked to a guy. His name is Rob Hindle. He runs a blog called Ground Up Cafe Racer. I can't honestly, off the top of my head, I can't remember the URL, but it'll be in the show notes, and we mention it during the interview, so you'll hear it here in just a minute. But he's building a bike from just like it says, the ground up, and it was a great time talking to him. So I hope you enjoyed that. So you'll hear my motorcycle real quick, and then you'll hear the interview right into that. So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. All right, today we have Rob Hindle from the Ground Up Cafe Racer blog on the show today. How's it going?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
So let's get right into it. What is the Ground Up Cafe Racer blog exactly?
Well, it's something that just started when I started this particular build, a 70... titled as Hunt CB354, and I enjoy writing a little bit too, so it was kind of it meant to be an outlet for my writing.
Yeah,
and it just it just kind of grew. I was really surprised that anybody thought I had anything all that interesting to say, but apparently a few people do at least.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. One thing, you know, I'll get right into this part. We talked about it a minute ago before I started recording. One of the things that I've had a couple of classic bikes, and your good chemistry post, the one where you talked about the rust, I don't even know what it's called, rust remover, I guess.
It was called Metal Rescue.
Yeah, Metal Rescue. That stuff's amazing. Like some of the parts that I've had to pull off of classic vehicles, you know, all rusted up and just nasty, and you end up having to take a wire brush and sandpaper and steel wool and all these things, and you end up with this pretty marred up surface sometimes, especially if you're getting a little too heavy-handed with a Dremel or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this thing just makes it look beautiful. I'm not necessarily trying to do a commercial for these people, but, I mean, why don't you talk a little bit about how this worked for your alternator?
Well, it was amazing. Like I said, I had bought the motor, and when I first got it up on the bench, and I pulled the alternator cover off, and I looked at the alternator, and I went, wow, what happened here? It looked like it had been sitting in 3 feet of water, you know. I mean, it was completely rusted. There's a picture on the blog of it, and I'm looking around like, what am I going to do to get this rust off this? And I'm used to thinking, you know, naval jelly, really old school stuff, wire brush, and I'm thinking there's got to be a better way than this. So I start doing a little research on the internet, of course, and came across this stuff, this Metal Rescue stuff, and said, okay, seems it's worth a shot. Anyway, you know, it was reasonably cheap. It was like $18 for a gallon. But it was more, you could use it multiple times.
Nice.
Which was the great thing about it, yeah. So I found some at the local big box hardware store and brought it home, poured some in a 5 gallon bucket, and dropped the alternator in. And they said you could do this with electrical parts. So I let it
so
sit
Stater
for 24
went
hours. Yeah, it was like amazing. And 24 hours later, I came back, I pulled it out and rinsed off with a little bit of water, and the thing looks like there was never any rust on it.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, it looks
completely amazing.
It looks fantastic from the pictures, and just in case anybody's wanting to go check it out right now, it's over at groundupcaferacer.wordpress.com. Definitely check that out if you're interested in some of the amazing stuff that chemistry has come up with in the last few years. So how did you get into this sort of building up a cafe racer thing? I mean, you know, bikes, and you were saying bikes and cars and everything sort of, right?
Right. Well, the family's always been into things like that. I remember my dad when I was probably in about sixth or seventh grade at the time. One of his friends where he worked at had an old Vespa scooter, and he said, hey, this thing doesn't run, you want it? My dad, you know, he was always tinkering with something, and he says, yeah, I'll take it. Brought it home, took him about 3-4 days, got the thing running, and he says, hey, he wants to go for a ride. I'm like, well, hey, that's me, you know?
Yeah.
And took me out for a ride on it, and I kind of liked it. I mean, it's only a scooter, and in here in western PA, there's a lot of hills, so they're not really powerful, so they didn't go up hills very quick, but it went down hills real fast. And I just love the feeling, you know, wind in the hair and the lack of structure around you. It seemed like you're going about twice as fast as you would normally go. And that's what kind of got me started. I had an XL250 just after I got out of high school. Kept it around for a while, and I rode that thing everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great little dual sport bike.
Oh, and it was such a blast, you know. And drive back and forth to work all week, and then on the weekends, me and my buddies would go out and go crazy in the woods behind his house.
Yeah.
And like my family's always been into cars, airplanes, whatever. If it runs on gasoline and basically goes vroom, we like it. So we've always been into that kind of stuff. And I came across Cafe Racer TV a couple years ago. And that's what kind of got me thinking, wow, I'd like to do a bike again. It's been a long time. And that's what got me started on it again. I remember how much fun having that bike was. It was great.
Yeah. It's cool to hear that Cafe Racer TV is not just appealing to the people that already are sort of doing it, but, you know, kind of inspiring some new people to get out and try some things that they maybe haven't done in a while.
Well, certainly did make us, for sure.
And I'll, you know, full disclosure, they're a sponsor of my show, so.
Sure.
You know,
that's how it works.
So what's your plan with this bike? You know, it's a CB354. It's a pretty common bike, pretty well-liked bike. Do you have any sort of overall vision that's maybe a little bit different from the average guy out there with an angle grinder?
Well, you hear about what people think a cafe racer should be,
mm-hmm.
you know, certain things. And I don't really subscribe to most of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I agree with, I like the look, I like the low bars, I like the little seats, you know. I like to go around corners fast. It's always been my thing, cars or bikes.
Yeah.
So I'm just going with things that I like, what I think will work. There's also a little bit of car into it, too. The design of the seat I'm working on uses a little, almost like a ducktail spoiler, kind of like an old muscle car would have.
Yeah, I saw you put a post up about that. You've got like sort of a picture of it's a old Camaro, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm using a little bit of that. I'd like to use ideas. I like to go outside the boxes, somebody might say.
Yeah.
And I'm building this for me. I'm not building this for anybody else. I'm gonna take it out. I'm gonna ride it, and I'm gonna enjoy it. People dig it. Hey, that's cool. If not, ain't no big deal to me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely. Definitely what you got to do out there. I mean, I'm not exactly a cafe racer purist either. I mean, sure, I ride a Triumph, but it's not an old Triumph. And there are some people that would say that, you know, what's the point? And I've done some sort of your more typical Street Fighter things to mine, like eliminating the rear fender and that sort of thing. And there's other guys out there that I've definitely said, oh, you got to keep the rear fender on, you know. And so I agree with you. Definitely, you know, this isn't about... who, you know, this isn't about making a bike that everybody else thinks is awesome. It's about making a bike that you think is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're the one going to be riding it. You know, it's what you should like. You know, how you like it to look, how you want it to handle, how you want it to run.
Yeah. Speaking of something a little bit unusual, I was, you know, your most recent post, you painted the bowls, the outside of the bowls of your carbs. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, this blue looks really good, and I haven't seen it on anything before. Was there anything that sort of prompted you to do that?
Well, I was looking for I don't know when I want to say a concept for the bike, but I wanted to come up with some sort of a paint scheme for it. And I thought about different stuff, you know. And actually, the inspiration came from Kenny Wayne Shepherd's song, Blue on Black. And it's going to be as of right now, it's going to be satin black with that color blue. As a pinstriper on the tank, pinstriper on the seat pin.
I think it looks great.
It really is. It's a great color, and it was out of it's a spray can thing.
Yeah,
that was the great thing about it. Is kind of like I don't even have to break out the compressor for that one. You know.
Right. It looks like it. The finish comes out nice too. I mean, a lot of people I know out there kind of diss the rattle can, but you know, if you do it right, I've found you can get a really good finish.
Yes, you can. It's all on how you do it. I mean, it's just like painting anything else. I mean, if you want the temperature to be, you know, you don't want to do this in the middle of the winter time and in a rainstorm or anything like that. I mean, you want the conditions to be decent. And actually, rattle cans are pretty forgiving most of the time when it comes to that. Pretty much have to be ham-handed to mess it up.
Yeah, I've been having a fun time kind of attacking various parts of my bike with different kinds of black paint. So like I said, I like that this blue is different. I like that you're kind of coordinating it with the you know, the striping around the tank and that sort of thing. I'm really, really excited to see how this bike progresses. Do you have any are you going to do any engine work, like performance wise to it?
Well, I haven't gotten deep into the motor yet. I'm gonna pull the part, pull the head off it, look at the pistons, check clearances and stuff like that. I'm kind of hoping that I need to maybe do a little bit of a rebore. I might go up a you know, a millimeter or two
mm-hmm.
on the bores. But really, it's pretty much going to, I'm going to stick with weight reduction as the main focus of getting the performance up. I'm going to do some things with the engine if I can. And hopefully, you know, maybe it turns out that the motor doesn't really need that much and I don't have to mess with it. But if it does, like I said, I might do a little bit of an overbore on it and maybe a little porting on the heads and stuff. But that's probably going to be about the max I would do to the engine.
Cool. So where can, I know I said it once already, but where can people go to follow along in your blog?
The blog is at groundupcaferacer.wordpress.com.
Cool. Before we finish up real quick, you said you got the bike back in July?
Mm-hmm.
Or the frame? It looks like it's coming along really well. Do you have any sort of feeling on when you might be done?
Well, hopefully, you know, if everything were to go exactly according to plan, I would say probably late April, May, but, realistically, I've known from doing projects in the past that, those things rarely happen. So I'm going to take a guess and say realistically, probably mid-June.
Okay. Well, like I said earlier, you know, everybody who's interested in checking this out and maybe getting some ideas and a little bit of inspiration, go on and check groundupcaferacer.wordpress.com. And thanks for coming on the show. And like I said, thanks for putting out the blog. It's been really cool to watch and it's been giving me some ideas. Kind of makes me want to get a vintage bike.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.